It seems like we've had the opportunity to meet and know and many of you over the years. And to help the children in Haiti has been a truly blessing to be a part of the work down there. Georgia, my wife, is with me, and many of us have been married a long time. Doyle, you know that the wife always kind of nudges you on. You said this right, you said this wrong, you did this, you did that. We've been out speaking and thanking people for working for us and helping us the past few weeks. And the other night we were at a church and we had the clip-on mic on, Brother Cooper, and gave the invitation. And we got down and, I don't know, I forgot to turn off the mic, and this man leaned over, and we were singing the song. He said, "Your mic's on." And Georgia said, "Don't sing tonight with the microphone on, don't you?" So I must sing pretty bad. So I did. Another church, we were getting ready to start. We started it, and I was trying to make sure the service was running right, running on time. I asked the gentleman, "What about services starting and ending, how much time I had?" And he said, "Well, we leave at 12 o'clock. If you go over, just lock the doors up, you know." So we... We've had the opportunity to experience some good Christian brotherhood together. They all helped us in our work in Haiti recently. You want to turn the PowerPoint on for us? Or do I do that? You know, when the hurricane hit, some of you had mentioned it to me earlier. I had three men with me. We'd been asked to talk about our Jesus. As you read the reading right there, thank you for reading that for me tonight. As the reading goes, and the preachers in Haiti wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted to know more about how to share the gospel. So we had a preacher conference scheduled, and it was really hard to get men to go to this particular area. As our song said, we need to be workers, and we needed workers. And I had been putting it off. The distance, and I'll show you on the map just here in a second, is only 150 so miles. But it takes 7.5 hours to drive there. The terrain is so bad. So I have been saying, "No, I'm not going. We can't go. We can't go." We're given a reason. We couldn't go. And we went. Talked three other men to go. We had five going, and two of them couldn't make the schedule. And on October 6th, thereabout, we got the word. I was there for about a week, and the other men showed up. The hurricane came. News on the cell phones that it was going to be here. And I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of wind. So we turned on the TV that we did have there. And they didn't have anything about a hurricane in Haiti that we were going to have storms. So Chris Pressler started asking them, did they know anything about this is a pretty bad storm. This is a F5 hurricane. Well, the preacher that had brought us in that week had moved me to another little small hotel. It wasn't very clean, I thought. It wasn't even a Motel 6 type place to stay. But when the hurricane hit that night, you've seen pictures of it. When the hurricane hit, it lasted about 12, 14 hours. Every building around us was either destroyed or the roof blown off, except ours. Every tree in our compound fell, but it fell in a direction away from where we were staying. And we have non-Christian friends and ask us, why did God choose to let you live and not into somebody else? Why did God protect you? And I started studying and trying to find out why. And God did not choose us because we were special. He chose us because we've still got some work to do. Just not through with the sled. So I started looking back. I just turned age 70 in October. Started looking in there, reading and studying. What else can I do and how can I do it? And I really want to retire. I want to really go up the mountains and spend some time. The mountains burn up, you know, in Sevierville, you know. And I started reading. Moses was age 80 before God ever called him to work. So maybe I'm not too old after all, to do this. With your support and your help, we'll continue to do this. But as you read from us tonight in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Christ is speaking there, and we, the old King James Version, we would have that in the red letter edition. Stand out for us that Christ is speaking. This is His words. And we go to the maybe another version, the New King James Version or another one. And if you'll bear with me just a minute, I want to read to you what would be the HJH or what Harry J. Haynes Version might say, or the one that might be written in 2016 or 2017, excuse me. If we were to write it today, how we might say that to the goats. "For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me because you had to go back to the Longhorn Steakhouse tonight and get another 12-ounce steak. I was thirsty, and you couldn't give me anything to drink because you had to go to Starbucks and buy another $7 latte or stop and get a $2 bottle of water. I was a stranger. It was a different color, and you wanted me deported. I needed clothes, but you needed more clothes that had a little logo on the pocket that said Under Armour or Nike or Polo. I was sick, and you pointed out to the behaviors that had led to my sickness and said, you deserve what you have. And I was in prison, and you said I was getting exactly what I deserved. Many of you worked in the prison ministry out at Limestone Correctional Prison, and you see the need, and you see it through the county jail system. I want to go back and say that these people on the right and these people on the left, as they were separated, God didn't separate them or will not be separated because they did things. We will do these things if we are true Christians. These things that they did when they fed the sick, fed the hungry, or they clothed the naked, they did them because this is what Christ wants us to do. And that's what you do here at Austinville, is to do that. So just because we do a lot of things and a lot of works is not going to get us into heaven. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. When I've been down there with Healing Hands International, we've drilled 55 water wells in just one area. Last month, in November, when the hurricane hit, we started carrying in clean water. We'd go into the river there, and people were drinking water out of the river, and then 50 feet from them, the women were washing their clothes, and 50 feet from there, people were bathing, and 100 feet up from there, the cows and the pigs were in the water. And then people were drinking from that. We carried in water filters and 5-gallon buckets to give everybody clean water. But the most important thing we can give them is just like Jesus spoke in John chapter 4, is we can give them the living water. We can tell them about the love of Jesus. The song in the book, and we don't sing it very much, is we talk about, sometimes I get discouraged and think my work's in vain, and then the Holy Spirit revives me and gets me back again. I can't preach like Peter, and I can't pray like Paul, but I can share the love of Jesus and say He died for all. Many of us can't preach, but we can certainly teach. We can share the love of Jesus with these Haitian children that have no parents. Most of our children are, and we'll see, are abandoned children. We give them food. The money that you sit down, we were able to send down one container of food. But the most important food that we give them is the bread of life. Everything that they receive from us, from our churches, they have to come to a church of Christ. We have 9 churches, and everything's distributed. And Haitians do the distribution for that. We have a medical team down there, delivered a baby 2 days ago. We got one going on the 25th. And we have medical teams going every April and October to tend to the children at the orphanage. But the most important medical thing we can do is tell them about the great physician. We can go and tell them what a loving God we have. We can tell them how much He means to us. The hurricane destroyed all of the crops. It destroyed 80% of the mangoes, most of the rice in the particular area. We teach them how to harvest. We teach them how to reap and how to plant. But the most important thing is we've got to save souls. We've got to plant the seed. You can take an apple and cut the apple open and count the number of seeds in that apple. But you cannot count the number of apples that come out of that seed that we've planted. Many times we're asked that. We've had 28 baptisms. We had 8 last month. And we've had 28 baptisms since the hurricane. Then we try to just plant the seed. Now I want to show you some things that have been going on in the work. This is the palace. Many of you know have read or seen the Christian Chronicle newspaper. Last week was the anniversary. It was 7 years ago the anniversary. This is the palace, or what we would call the White House, of the Haitian government, where they would do it. In 45 seconds, when the earthquake hit, just like that, destroyed. In 45 seconds now, I want you to think about how long that is. 45 seconds, 316,000 people died. The main religion in Haiti is voodoo, then Catholicism. How many of those people in that 316,000 knew the Lord? Not very many. This is where we work. This is Port-au-Prince. It's the heart of the area right over here in the corner. And Jeremy, right here, is where the hurricane was. We start here and we drive down and then we have to go back up. It's a 7.5-hour drive. And the hurricane came across this particular part of the island right there is where we have been for the past few weeks. This was a sign that we had up, or we saw as we went in. We met with this church and it was destroyed, but they had the plywood back up. And we would say we may not be able to meet today because the building is not heated, or they just put some plywood up on these particular walls and went back to work. This was an old slide that I had, and I was looking at it, and this is in a schoolroom. Brother Tom, you'd probably get in trouble if you'd write this on the school board. But this is said the date of January 12th, 2010. And in Creole, that says, do is God bless less infants. God bless the little children. The teacher wrote that on the board that day. Had no idea that an earthquake would hit that night at 6:15 of 2010. 30 people were killed in this building. That's also the night that Lane Kiffin quit Tennessee. Same night. This is we have the opportunity to preach at those churches. And this gentleman wearing this white coat right here, and I was hot. Brother Posey is in the Ukraine right now, freezing to death. We average between 90 and 100 about most of the time down there. And I'm always hot, and so Brother Posey is cold this week. But these gentlemen, the church went together and bought me a white sport coat. I got a 4-button long white sport coat and a big red rose on it that Georgia said, are you really going to wear that? This is a song book that they have. We're working with Lambert Press and Kyle Butt to get some Bibles. Some song books with notes in them. And they just have the words and they have to learn it from that. This is a home that most of our people live in and around the area. And this is why so many people, when the hurricane hit the other night, or hit in November, this is a house like this, were just totally blown away. And these people were waiting to see us. I get the question asked, why are they so happy? Why are they so happy? They were happy until we came down and Americanized them, told them we had to have better things. We had to have a TV. I had to have my 5-year-old grandson last night was eating. We said, where do you want to go eat? We were coming back from Birmingham. He wanted to go to this place because they had a tablet that he could play with. Then he orders his meal and he plays with his food and eats about half of it. I never have a child in Haiti to send back a plate. This is a company, all of you, I don't know if they're still popular or not, but Crocs gave us quite a few hundreds of pairs of shoes that we go in and we fit a child. The sad thing about fitting a child in a pair of shoes in Haiti is if he wears a 7 and you put a 5 on him, he's not going to take it off because he's afraid that he won't get another pair. So we always try to make it too big and then sit down. This is some of the rice that y'all helped buy for no cube. This is beans. And we were able to get in a container load of beans. We were in Mississippi a few weeks ago talking, right after we talked with y'all. And we were trying to get medicine down there. And the medicine was going to be a little over $18,000. And I had a call, and it was in Columbus, Mississippi. And a group of churches in Mississippi said, we've taken up some money, and we want to know where to send it. We said, we're trying to buy medicine right now. Well, the man calculated the price and gave us a discount on the medicine, reduced it from $18,000 to $7,500. The churches in Mississippi donated $7,000. God was involved. Then we were trying to figure out it was going to cost between $8,000 and $10,000 to ship it. How could we pay for that? A man from Miami had read about it in the Christian Chronicle, said, I've got a plane. If you can get it to Fort Lauderdale, I'll fly it down. for no charge. That went down. My children and grandchildren have wonderful, comfortable beds. Now we read about this is one of our churches orphanage at our Lilywa church. Recently, the Cox Boulevard church went in and we bought new beds and new mattresses and put the beds on it. How many of y'all slept in a bed last night? How many of you got more than one pair of shoes and one jacket or one clothing? They get two outfits a year that we carry down to this particular orphan. These little kids just got flip-flops. The Dollar General stores at the end of last summer gave us all of their carried-over stuff. This was recently in the hurricane area that people were begging for food. And the children came out and they wanted more food for this. We call it Harry's Kids. I'm the Blanc. If I walk into a church and all of a sudden in the back, you could hear some child yell out Blanc before his mother covers his mouth, I might be the only white person there. And they come out to greet you. We're also teaching things sustainability within the country. This is a concrete block machine. It makes 4 blocks a minute. And it takes between 12 and 15 men that work there. We make about 2,000 blocks a day. So instead of those 12 to 15 men have an average of 5 children. And so all of a sudden we're feeding 75 or 80 people without having to give them anything. They're making blocks and they're selling them and they have a job. When Nike and Hanes and Gildan and one other company, a scrub company, has a sewing area, minimum wage went from 37 cents to 62 cents an hour. They threatened to leave the country because they couldn't pay that amount of money. That's too much to pay. Too much to pay. And so these people have their own job now making blocks. When I was exchanging money, when I would go down there, Their monetary system is called a goud. When I started, I was getting 37 gouds per one U.S. dollar. Now I get 67. So they want to be paid in U.S. dollars because a goud, now they'll work less than 40 cents an hour. Many of you grandmothers or mothers might remember your parents sewing on a treadle sewing machine. We started out having treadle sewing machines, and now we have some women from Florence that went down and taught our women to sew. And we have electric sewing machines, and we have generators to run them. And this is one of the products that they make. And we bring these back and sell them for like $10. And it's a job that the women have to do that. We sell these in gift shops, and we bring these back also and sell them for, I think, $5 a piece. Georgia has all of this. We have a... This one's a light skin. We have light skin and dark skin people in Haiti. The dark skins came over from Africa as slaves, and they're the descendants from there. And the light skins came either from Lebanon or Syria, and they are the business people that live up in the other areas. So our women have educated us on the cultural differences that they had for the people. But our women also make it. This is a school that Healing Hands International Live Beyond and in individual donations built within the U.S. As you can see the mountainous area there, this particular school, there was no school within like 50 miles of this. And when the school was built, it's owned by sitting on the Church of Christ property, and Estes paid for the church here. A child gets, after their 6th year of education in Haiti, they take a test, and if they don't pass the test, they repeat that year. And if they don't pass it second time, they're not allowed to go back to school. So we have an illiteracy rate of about 65%. So our schools will let that child take the test 3 times and continue on to have to be. If a child can speak English or Spanish, they can probably get a job or they advance very well. So we're in the process of helping to start a children's library in Haiti and with books that people are donating, children's books. This is another school at Santo Church of Christ. These little wooden buildings are individual. We buy for $2,400 to $3,000 a piece, and each one holds a different grade. And when we're building them, we were going to pour the concrete slab and then put the building on top of it. Well, the Haitians said, no, build the house, and then we'll pour the foundation on the inside. And they do that so nobody can steal their house. Because it's so valuable. This is where some of the Christmas gifts you send down, They pack them in packages, and the children line up to get a gift. This is at one of the orphanage. Show this back. Country of 9 million people. This is the president's wife, the first lady of Haiti, Mrs. Martelly. He had open heart and shoulder surgery. Country of 9 million people, there was no defibrillator. Now we have two. One owns to the president. I gave to her. They came from NEFCO, right here in Decatur, Alabama. $1,495 if you need one. But I was working in the palace one day, or near the palace, with the Minister of Education. We were trying to start an education program to help these children and tell them what our churches were going to do and how they were going to grow. And I was going through my translator. I said, we have 12 hospital beds that I need to get rid of because I have 34, 30, whatever, on a container. And this lady comes by and she says, can we join the conversation? I said, why is that? And she said, well, God sent you to see us on a Tuesday. And she said, we're opening the tuberculosis hospital on Friday, and we don't have any beds. So I explained, well, I can't get beds out of the port for another 90 days. She brings me over Sophia and said, this is the First Lady of Haiti. And I explained to her my situation, and she says, wait just a minute. She brings back her husband. She said, this is my husband, Michael, the president of Haiti. So here I am, a redneck from Alabama, and he had never heard of the Church of Christ. He wanted to know why we were doing that, why we got beds in. So from that day forth, I have a little badge. Number two, I walk into the palace that you just saw and tell them, I want to see the president of Haiti. God opened those doors for us. This is the water well. This bucket right here will hold 5 gallons of water. It weighs 42.5 pounds. And men, it's a shame to us, but it's the same way down there. Women do the work. We look in our churches, but this bucket, a woman can put this bucket on her head. She has a little cloth. She rolls up. She can walk for 2-3 miles and never spill a drop of water. We try to give them clean water. I love this picture just because the little boy is so hot. He took the cup and just dumped it on him this particular day. That's the president of Haiti, and that was my translator. This is the most recent picture of our school in Chambalan. The church meets there, and the school meets Monday through Friday, but the church meets Sundays and Wednesdays, and they utilize the building. This was when the hurricane came across it, and I was asking earlier, we're going to build it back on this slab. It's 36 by 60. So I thought, man, they're not going to have school for weeks. I was back over there in about a week and a half. They're having school. Now, we would be, you know, we called it off the other day because we thought snow was going to come. Or last year we called off school because we thought we was going to have a tornado. This is the classroom. This is the class. The little benches you see that they're sitting on, they write on, is their desk. And then on Sunday when they get to worship, they turn it around and they sit on it and they lean back on it. It's a dual purpose. We buy those for $125 a piece. This particular tree fell on a vehicle. I said the vehicle would never work again, never drive again. So I told him maybe we can help him. We can go buy a chainsaw. There was no chainsaw available to buy in Jeremy. And I can understand one of 15 out of 15 words in Creole. And I said, they're telling those men that they can cut that tree down. These men, two Haitian men cut this tree down with a machete. That cut's probably smoother than Doyle can do it with a chainsaw. Did it in about 4 hours. This is our group, another group of people that we have sewing and are making stuff. This particular little bracelet right here, this guy's cutting cereal boxes that Kellogg gives us, or you had donated, and we take them and we make bracelets out of them, beads and necklace. They work Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, make $5 a day, and we sell the bracelets with the earrings for like $10, and they do it. This March, we've cleared the market, and we're going to make orange and white, red and blue, red and black, and orange and black. We're going to make school colors, but we're not going to put Roll Tide or War Eagle on them because we'll get in trouble with the universities, but they'll be the school colors, and we'll do that. We have requests constantly. We recently bought these Bibles. We buy them in Haiti. And this is Brother John Clabert. We make sure that the Bibles are correctly and not that. I found this in one of the orphanages. Y'all sent these down. Where is? Is it 3 years ago that y'all sent these down with me? But I found this. This was in one of the orphanages the other night. This is a box of the Bibles. This little boy, I was looking at him. He had scabies. If you notice the head, we have to treat him. We don't have lice, but we have the scabies. And this little boy in this particular home, you see his leg and his knees right there. We don't have running water, and he was pretty malnourished. And that's where the peanut butter comes in. But after I went back, I got to looking closer, and he's got on Priceful. He's given me a bunch of Priceful T-shirts. Last week, I got a 1200 from the Alabama Space and Rocket Center, misspelled something on one of their shirts. So they didn't want them being out in the U.S., so I'm carrying those to Haiti in January. This is a church being rebuilt. They had a palm leaf roof when the hurricane came through, and we bought them 10. And as you see, we're going to have a 10 roof. This is one of the other churches. The roof was blown away, and they're back meeting. This is the completion of that church with a metal roof on it. This is Our Lady's baptism. She was baptized 2 weeks ago. There's amazing stories that happen in Haiti. But every time somebody comes to me, they want to know, tell me more about your Jesus. Tell me more about your Jesus. When I was in Jeremy, when I first went there, they asked me to speak in this little church that blew away I told you about. And I said, that's too far away. I'm not ready. I don't have anything to speak about. I spoke that afternoon. We drove across another little ford and did some water. And as we got across the water, they had another place for me to speak on a Monday afternoon. I was tired and frustrated, and the American was disappointed, you know, that it was too sweaty to do anything. Get in this building where they wanted us to sleep that night, and mosquitoes were everywhere. Instead of Mark, I have to lather up good to keep from getting malaria. Complaining that I didn't have anything to eat. Holes on the screens to keep the mosquitoes out. And about 4:30 in the morning, it was about 90 degrees then, and couldn't sleep, and I hear some men outside talking in Creole. And I thought, wow, I'm the only American here. They're going to rob me. So I put a chair up the door, real brave guy that I am, you know, so that nobody could come in. Had it leaned up against the doorknob, and then 6 o'clock, Brother Bober and them were out there talking to them. This man had walked from midnight to be baptized. He said, I want to know more about that Jesus you told us about. I felt about this tall. Wow. He wanted to know more about our Jesus. So we go out and we talk. 6:30 in the morning, we have some food to eat, have some bananas, some bread, and peanut butter, and it was two of them. They said, why don't you join us for breakfast? And the guy wanted to be baptized first. And I was thinking, well, we don't have enough food. We just, you know, got bananas and bread here, you know. We cut it in two and we had enough to eat. And I said, is there a church close by we can baptize this man? And we were in the city, an area called Damari. It's a fishing village. And we were on the Caribbean Sea. And they said, here's water. Why can't we baptize him? Here's a baptistry. We walked out there, and I don't swim or swim very well. And I thought, whoa, the water will rush. I said, I'm going to stay right here and let y'all baptize him, you know. But they baptized that man at 6:30 in the morning on a Tuesday morning because y'all cared enough to send us down there. Y'all paid for the trips. You paid for those beans, and I thank you for that. But what they want to know more about is your Jesus and my Jesus. I'm not a preacher, and I can't preach like Peter, and I can't pray like Paul. But when I go down there, I can share the love of Jesus and say He died for all. If you don't know that Jesus tonight, my Jesus, we invite you to come. If you just need these elders to come and pray for you, we were at a black congregation last week, and they had 26 people. Your contribution is averaging $500 a week. They'd send $1,000 down. I thought, wow, these people really, they wanted to know more about Jesus. They want to know if they could be workers in Haiti. And I thank y'all for providing the food and the shoes and clothes and telling people about our Jesus, Brother Johnson. Amazing man. The invitation is yours.